Howdy and welcome to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. This is week 8, day 3 of the study of Romans. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about Romans 12, 9 through 21. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. Join me as we pray before we get started. Lord, I ask that you would open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us today, God. Would you speak to us? Give us clarity in your word. Grow us in our faith in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's word. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 9. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Well, this is so far the most practical thing that Paul has talked about in the entire book of Romans. And I love how he has gotten very deep into some subjects. And again, at the beginning of this, I talked about how not every bit of this is easy. And one of the things that I like to maintain is that there are things that the Lord has made difficult to understand. He actually wants us to have to work to press into Him. It's not really about how much book knowledge, how much history we can gain, how much of, you know, theological study we can have. It's really more about how much dialogue are we willing to have with Him. That's where we gain understanding into difficult things. So most of the book of Romans is about dialoguing with God and asking Him, what is going on? Explain this to me. Help me. Now, in that process, we can read historical accounts, other people's commentaries. You can listen to podcasts like this. But really, the number one way is by going deep with the Lord in dialogue, asking Him to explain to you and reading it over and over and over again, getting it into you. So Paul has gone very deep with things that are very difficult. Some of them not so difficult, but many of the things in Romans are difficult, weighty to grasp. But now here he's getting immensely practical. He's telling us all of these things that, you know, in light of the salvation that we have, we should live differently. And so Paul, to the contrary of the way many people teach Romans and teach grace, that we don't have to do anything, that there is no works involved in Christianity, Paul, quite to the contrary, is saying something, you know, opposite of that, very contrary to, you know, well, it's just all grace. Yes, your salvation is through grace. But understanding what that means, understanding how great a salvation that is, it compels you to do. It compels you to act. It compels you to be different. Being different doesn't earn you your salvation. But once you have that salvation, nothing else makes sense. Nothing else is logical except to pour yourself out 100% for the Lord. And that looks like this, loving each other sincerely. How do you love each other sincerely? You have to be honest with yourself to begin with. If there's things that you don't like in other people, other believers, you have to be honest with yourself about that and ask the Lord, why don't I like this about them? Most of the time we demonize them. Well, they're bad because they're this way and this way. And you know, they're the worst ever. You know, we have this, heard it said, you know, we have this inner drama queen inside of us that paints people into this corner. And we have to go a different direction. We have to say, Lord, what is it that bothers me about them? What is it? And not all the time, as Paul's going to say later here in this passage, but much of the time, it's really not a problem with them. It's a problem with us. Something that we perceive about them or something that they say rubs us the wrong way because something that happened in our past. So loving people sincerely starts with us self-evaluating ourselves, like Paul said in yesterday's podcast in the previous section of this chapter. We have to hate what is evil and cling to what is good. These are all so practical. They need no or very little, explanation here. You know, honoring one another above yourselves. That's putting other people first. Never be lacking in zeal, but keeping that fervor. That is something important. Because one of the things that is almost a guarantee in life is the older you get, the more life, and in saying life, there's a very real enemy, very active enemy who hates us, who is acting upon our life, who wants to steal that zeal, steal that joy, steal that fervor. And so we have to cultivate ways to grow in that. And in the same way that many marriages in the United States and the West fail, because people believe that because they love their spouse and they love God, that they're going to be okay. But in reality, when we are pledging our love to one another at the altar and we're making vows and commitments to love, love is an emotion. Love is not a commitment. The commitment that we make is to love. But love is an emotion. It's only an emotion, and it's always an emotion. It's not something that we can just say, well, I love you and that's the way it is. No, love takes cultivation. So when we feel love waning in our hearts for our spouse or for the Lord, we have to do something to stir it back up. It's an emotion, and it's emotion that the Lord wants us to cultivate and keep healthy. And so we have to do things to make sure that that happens. In the same way, the zeal for God, that zeal, it's a passion. It's an emotion inside of us. And we have to do practical things to keep that emotion healthy and alive. It's not just something that some people have. Some people are more passionate than others. Some people are more emotional than others. No, that's not how this works. It is an emotion, but it's something that we have to grow and cultivate and take care of. Practicing hospitality. I mean, imagine this. This is in scripture that Paul is saying this in the same breath as don't lack in zeal for the Lord. Practice hospitality is how he finishes that paragraph. It's important. It's not always easy, but it's important. Verse 14, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. This is like Paul's version of the Sermon on the Mount, isn't it? It's all of these things that are, they're high sounding, but at the same time, they're counterintuitive to human nature. None of us want to do these things with all of our being. What makes us want to do these things is when we view ourselves in light of our own salvation that Jesus has given us. And when we view that, all of these things make perfect sense. In fact, nothing else makes sense but to do these things and live this way. Verse 17, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Now see here, Paul understands reality. He couches this twice by saying, you know, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you. He's saying this, you know, in two different ways. He understands that this is not always up to us. But whenever it is, or whenever we can make it up to us, live at peace with people. That is so difficult because many times it's not up to us and there's nothing we can do about it. And it puts us in such an awkward, terrible, uncomfortable position. But many of the times it is up to us. We can make peace. But most of those times when we can make peace, it means we have to humble ourselves. Even if we were right, we have to lay ourselves down before other people. We have to lay our will down before other people. We have to bless those who curse us. It's difficult. This chapter is much more practical. It's much easier to understand. But I think this is the most difficult chapter in the book of Romans. Because putting all of these things into practice is the most difficult part of the Christian life. And it will take us the rest of our mortal days to even be mildly better at this than we are right now. Now, don't get me wrong. You can make leaps and bounds, but ask any old person and try and get an honest answer from them. Older people generally will tell you exactly what they think if you ask them for honesty. And most of them will tell you that they still struggle with this. This is still not easy. Maybe easier when they're 20 or 30 or 40 or 50, but still not always easy. Verse 19, do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will reap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is such, I think, a strange passage in the light of most Western 21st century Christians. This idea of leaving room for God's wrath. Here he has just told us to bless those that curse us, love those. I mean, he's basically reiterating all of the same things that Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount, which is bless those who curse you, you know, pray for those who spitefully use you. You know, he's encouraging us to do that. And then he's saying, don't take revenge, but leave room for God's wrath. That's a heavy statement, but it's a very powerful one. I have had several occasions to put this into practice. And I will say it's incredibly difficult, but incredibly wise. When there are others who absolutely will not live at peace with us and absolutely spitefully use us and obviously defame us with lies on purpose, this is really hard. I mean, the first thing that any of us want to do is we want to smash their face in and let everyone know that they're making up things and they're horrible. But the Lord says, don't do that. Don't take your own revenge. Let me be the one to avenge you. And in doing that, just personally, in doing that, and in laying those people before the Lord and saying, Lord, I'll do my best not to take my own revenge. And most of the time that comes with our mouth. But in doing that, the Lord changes something within us. When we're seriously committed to that, it changes something in us where we can be honest with God. Because most of the time we'd be honest with ourselves how we feel about people. We hate them with the most intense hatred possible for a period of time. But there's something in us where we feel like we can't admit that to God. We don't mind telling other people sometimes, but we don't want to tell God. What God tells us to do is don't tell other people how much you hate them. Don't stew in your own mind how much you hate them. Tell God, Lord, I don't like these people. Will you judge them? Will you take your wrath out on them? And when we do that, something changes. Because now we've put that before the Lord. And I'll tell you, that's freeing. And not only is it freeing, it actually frees us up to do the thing that Paul said to do before, is to bless those who curse. Like Jesus said, pray for those who spitefully use you. When you lay that offense in the strongest terms possible before the Lord, you've given it to him. And that frees your heart up to ask for mercy, to ask for grace. And what you find is when you've asked the Lord to take out his wrath on the wicked people who've misused you, It makes space for you to have mercy on them and to ask the Lord to have mercy on them. Outside of that, I don't know how to do it unless you can depend on the wrath of the Lord. It's almost impossible to have mercy for them yourself. But when you do it like Paul's saying here, it's amazing what it does for your heart. It's so incredibly freeing. Well, that's it for today. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I'll be back tomorrow with another day of the podcast.